Hello and welcome to the Life Dead Podcast. I'm your host Johnny Orme, and no, we're not going late. It's because of the Book of Boba Fett coming out, and me being kind of loose and free with, you know, everything. I'm gonna move the release day of the Life Dead Podcast to Thursdays, just so we can get coverage of Book of Boba Fett as it comes out, rather than, you know, waiting a week to discuss the episode. So yes, it's going to be moving to Thursdays predominantly, so generally probably, you know, as you know, for the duration of things being released. I mean, if we get something released every week over the next year, which could possibly happen, then yeah, it'll be a general Thursdays thing. But if not, I'll probably push it back to Wednesdays. So yeah, I just figured, hey, let's just go for it. Let's just move it to Thursday, so or everything can be kind of current rather than waiting around. And if you listen very closely, you can hear. No car tonight. No, I'm recording on my night off. So I'm currently sat in my front room. I have my review copy of Claudia Gray's The Fallen Star right next to me. I am currently on page 270, and there are 345 pages in the book, so I'm getting nearly finished with this one, and I'm gonna be honest, it's really good, really good. But that's all I'm gonna say about that, because you know, it's not out till next year. Anyway, I'm trying to think, not a lot's kind of happening. We've had a announcement of a new Han Solo and Chewbacca series from Marvel Comics. That's probably to kind of take the place of something. I'm not sure if it's I can't remember if it was an ongoing one or a mini series kind of thing. But it makes me feel like something is going to be finishing in the near future. I'm wondering if it'll be taking the place of High Republic, which is possibly, I think, is finishing its issue 15, and I'm wondering if that's going to be, they're going to put that series on hold until kind of phase 2 starts. I mean, so far the comics kind of linked all of the phases of the first wave, no, all of the waves of the first phase, so it kind of covered events around and between kind of like the first, like the different waves of books that we've had, and from the looks of what we're getting, from look of the cover of issue 15, that's going to be kind of coinciding with what happens in The Fallen Star. So I'm kind of like, right, are they going to put the comics on hold until phase 2 starts? Which would make sense, because we don't know what phase 2 is going to look like. We don't know where, you know, when phase 2 will be released. We don't know what the kind of focus of phase 2 is going to be. So kind of taking a break on the comics seems like logical idea. And I'm also wondering if that's kind of what's going to happen with Dark Horse, because I know they kind of, they're taking over in March, I think, the rights, they get the rights back in around March time, so I wonder if maybe there's going to be a bit of a gap between kind of them having the rights, they're starting out for the rights, and then when something comes out, because I mean, when Marvel were already working on stuff, and we knew that they were working on stuff before they officially had the rights to release stuff. But we've not heard anything about Dark Horse, so I wonder if there's going to be kind of like a time gap between kind of like when they can release and when they will release. But I'm sure we'll find out in the next kind of month or so about that. I've been really heavy into the comics the last couple of weeks. I don't know, I've not really mentioned it, but January on the blog is looking very comics heavy. The first week is High Republic is take the first week of January is essentially taken up by the High Republic books, with the Fallen Star and a re-release of the Rising Storm review to coincide with the paperback release, which is on January 6th. So yeah, the first week's High Republic, very High Republic based, and then after that it is comics all the way through January so far. And the week of the 17th is a special week, because I finally picked up the last three issues of War of the Bounty Hunters. So that first week of January, not the first week, the week of the 17th of January, is going to be all War of the Bounty Hunters. So it's like review for each issue every day for that week. Well, for Monday to Friday. So that's going to be pretty cool. So yeah, Book of Boba Fett, we've had a few tidbits kind of come out. We've had the first clip from the episode, which features Boba Fett and Fennec Shand walking through a courtyard. And this looks like it's the courtyard from the trailers where they get surrounded by the guys with the shields. And you know, they're talking, like he's talking like this is where we get lines from the trailer as well. He's like, you know, Fennec Shand's talking to him about rule, taking over Jabba, and he's like, "Jabba ruled with fear. I intend to rule with respect." And then she says something, and then he's like, "Oh, speak freely." So we've actually heard that dialogue, but in the trailers, and it's like putting that into context. And what's quite funny is I was scrolling through one of the Facebook groups that I'm in, and someone was like, "Oh, look at this, look at this," and someone had commented saying, "Oh, well, they used those lines in a different context to the trailers. I don't know how I feel about that." And I'm like, you know what a trailer does, right? You know the trailers are, you know, they don't show like whole chunks of the film. They show snippets from different parts of the film. But yeah, it's kind of made me chuckle. I was like, oh, okay. I see how we're going there. But no, the clip looked good. There was a new teaser released. At this point, like, and there was an interview with Robert Rodriguez, released in People or Variety, or one of the kind of American trade film and entertainment magazines, and he was saying that everything that we've seen in the trailers essentially comes from like the first half of the first episode, so they are giving nothing away. So like, I'm kind of like, do I need to watch any more of these things? Do I want to watch any more of these trailers? Because it's like, look, you know, they're not really showing us a lot of new things, apart from a 2 seconds here, 2 seconds there. It's not like, you know, when you get like three TV spots for Rise of Skywalker in a week and you can start putting lots of pieces together. We are essentially getting the first 15 minutes, and there's so that well, the first half of the first episode, so we don't know how long this episode is going to be. I mean, there were rumors that we were getting 9 episodes for Book of Boba Fett. But it's down to 7. So part of me is wondering if originally it was 9, but they've kind of put like two episodes, like they've got two episodes, which are essentially two episodes within one episode. So yeah, I'm kind of like, okay, what are we gonna get here? So yeah, maybe there is enough content for it to be nine episodes, but they've made it into seven. We'll see. Hello, Lily. How are you? I will just leave my hand here. You may nuzzle my hand if you wish. Ah, cat. And one of them's in the cat list, I can hear him. Anyway, so yeah, I'm kind of like, you know, 2 seconds here, 2 seconds there. I think I can leave the any more trailers for now. That being said, no doubt I will sit and I will watch anything that they release. I mean, today they released a kind of a behind the scenes thing where, like, you've got Dave Filoni, Robert Rodriguez, Jon Favreau, Tamara Morrison, and Ming-Na Wen kind of talking about the series. And, you know, you got Robert Rodriguez saying, you know, talking, like, saying how great Jon Favreau's kind of writing his bit is, and, like, kind of, you know, the way he structures the series is really cool. Tamara Morrison saying this is a different kind of part of his life, different time of his life, you know, different experiences, like, and that's pretty cool. Ming-Na Wen's like saying it's great. But, Lily, what are you doing? You're a cat, you're not meant to fall over. So, this is why I record in my car. No cats. I was like, Ming-Na Wen, you know, just, I think she was saying, I might be getting kind of my Ming-Na Wen interviews mixed up, but saying how, you know, appreciative she was that the fans are really taken to her character. And I'm actually misremembering. I know she said that in something recently, but I don't, oh, excuse me, but I don't think it was the thing that I'm talking about. Anyway, it's all of these people talking about the Book of Boba Fett and saying it's pretty cool. And we know it is. I'm kind of stumped. I knew this episode is going to be a bit different anyway. So, because there's not a lot coming out, not, you know, it's just like little tidbits here. Oi! Flynn! Flynn! Leave him alone. Yeah. Sorry, the youngest cat was basically just giving shit to the second youngest cat. And that doesn't make for good entertainment. Cats meowing and rawr, caterwauling at each other. Anyway, yeah, so this episode, kind of going, there's not a lot to talk about. I think I've talked about all of the new stuff that I can think of. But don't say I don't give you anything, folks, because what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a quick break. You'll hear the click, 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 and then, as a little bonus, little Christmas present, so to speak, I am going to be putting out the first episode of season 2 of Yub Nubbin, a Life Debt podcast. Oh yes, as a little taster for what you could be hearing on the Life Debt Patreon, and you know, because it's Christmas, I thought I'd throw you a guy, give you guys a little something for Christmas, because I'm sweet like that, aren't I? So yes, I'm going to go, I'm going to head on off, I'm not going to keep you guys waiting for the wonder that is Yub Nubbin, but what I'm going to say is thank you for listening. And if you want to follow the blog, head on over to mystarslifedebt.com. If you would like to follow me on Twitter, it's at LifeDebtJohnny. You can hit me up on the Facebook page, which is, and I'm going to get it right this week, I promise. I'm going to get this right. So, you can join us, or join me, on the Life Debt Facebook page by heading over, if I can find it. Oh, damn it. Well, you can email the podcast at lifedebtpodcast@outlook.com. Yes. How do I do it? I knew I'd seen it. I found a way of doing it. Oh, this is annoying me now. Oh, general. Come on, come on, can I find it? I can't find it. Oh, I'm annoyed now. Anyway, right, go on Facebook, head on over to Facebook, and have a look for My Star Wars Life Debt, or Life Debt Blog Pod, at Life Debt Blog Pod. Yes. I can speak. So head on over to Facebook and have a look for Life Debt Blog Pod. And join the page. Join me, and it's all good fun. All good fun here. So that's that. What else? So yes, please. And if you would like to support My Star Wars Life Debt, please head on over to patreon.com/mystarslifedebt. Every contribution, everything is greatly appreciated and goes directly into content for the blog. So if you would like to join there, that would be greatly appreciated. So I think that's going to be it. So, until next week, where I will be waxing lyrical about the Book of Boba Fett, episode 1. I'll see you then, and have a happy Christmas or happy holidays, whatever you are doing over this festive period. I hope you have a great week, and once again, thank you for listening. I'll be back in just a second with Yub Nubbin, Season 2, Episode 1, The Crystal Cloak, / something to do with trees. I can't remember. But anyway, enjoy. Hello and welcome to Yub Nubbin, a Life Debt podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Orme. And it's season 2 of Ewoks, ladies and gentlemen, season 2. And it starts off with the two. Well, we'll get into my thoughts on this in a second. But this episode is all about the first episode, which is 2 episodes, The Crystal Cloak and the Wish Plant. So before I get into the episode, I'm going to just run down my list of gripes. Yes, there are gripes, people. Lots and lots of gripes. So first off, the theme tune. It's shit. And now I was like pretty anti the original one, which was, you know, the one you kind of hear at the beginning of the episode. We are the Ewoks. Spirits of the Forest Moon. You know, that one. I mean, it's not great. It grew on me. But it's not fantastic. It's not amazing. It's not, you know, He-Man and Thundercats level of fantastic theme tunes. But it's the Ewoks. So I'm like, okay. And I really don't like the new theme tune. Like, it's terrible. It's pretty bad. Whoever came up with it really should be ashamed. But still, you know, okay. Then the episode starts. And the characters are different. The episode starts. You know, over the opening credits, the opening theme thing song, you get to see the new animation. The new animation style. I don't like it. They changed the designs. They made the Ewoks look a bit more cutesy and fluffy, I guess. No! They look good originally, but no, we had to change it. I mean, Wicket's hood is green now. I mean, seriously. And like, Ewoks are always meant to be kind of like a little squidgy, a little chubby, you know? You look at all the Ewoks, they've got a little chub on them. No. Now the Ewoks are all svelte. And I'm surprised who ain't got like kind of an Arnie going on in there. You know, they're all looking a little trim. And don't get me started on what Chief Chirper looks like. Chief Chirper does not look like Chief Chirper. Chief Chirper looks like a whole new Ewok that they've just thrown in. But it's Chief Chirper. So we get into the episode. The episode starts. And then they start talking. And they don't sound right. I am like, what's happened here? Like, and then I look, you know, in the cast, like the main players, gone. New actors. I mean, why? What's happened here? So the only thing I can think of on this is cost cutting. They wanted to trim some costs somewhere. And I don't get it. I mean, was the first season, like, really expensive to produce? I can't imagine it. I mean, I kind of feel like maybe it was more expensive than other cartoons at the time, because they didn't, like, heavily overuse backgrounds. Like, it wasn't the case of the Ewoks are running through the forest and you get the same background over and over again. You know, things looked a little, you know, they kind of kept it fresh in a way. So maybe that was it. Maybe they wanted to cut costs. So, you know, they changed it completely. But that doesn't explain why they changed the designs. Cast, I can understand maybe. You know, maybe the original cast were getting paid X amount, and they were like, well, look, if we get so-and-so and so-and-so in, they can do it for half the price. Okay. But the design, I don't understand why they changed that. And the song, I mean, come on. Did that have to be changed? Just in point of fact, I am not changing the theme to this show, because I don't like that theme tune. The new theme tune is bad, and I'm keeping this one. Ewoks is staying. So then we get into the episodes, and now they kind of like one of my gripes when I first started this podcast was I really wanted I kind of felt like they needed to split the episodes into two episodes, into like two stories. Like, so you'd have like, instead of 23-minute episodes, you'd have 11-minute episodes. And I changed my mind on that a few episodes in. I think that first episode of Ewoks I really didn't like. And I was like, oh, I would have preferred it if we had like two episodes, like two stories, and maybe it would have been better. And as the se as season one went on, I kind of relented on that fact, on that thought, like that I like it. It's a good meaty story as opposed to here's a snippet of a tale. So this episode, and I having a look, like for the majority of this season, it follows the it's two episodes per episode structure. And oh boy, again, I wasn't a fan. This could just be me not liking change, but at the same time, I'm like, something just didn't it didn't sit right with me. Like, and I'll get to I'll explain. Well, I will explain how it wasn't didn't feel right to me. But it didn't. So the first episode, the Crystal Cloak. So it starts out with Wiccan receiving a belt from Chief Chirpa, on which he sticks badges, and it's a warrior belt. So it's like as he learns to become a warrior, he adds badges to it. He's basically the Ewok version of a Boy Scout, which is quite fun. I find that quite funny. So ambulance. You get Wicket doing, being trying wanting to get his badges, him thinking it's going to take him a week to get them all, and he's like, no, it's going to take a lot longer than that. From, Chief Chirpa, who is not Chief Chirpa in my opinion. So at the same, so this is going on, and Latara, who has had a complete personality shift. Like, she was always kind of like the girly girl, the look at me, I'm so pretty kind of Ewok in season one. But this time around, she's like so self-absorbed, and it's like, really? It just complete character change. And you got Tebow, who like her and Tebow in season one, they had a thing going. In this one, Tebow's so love-struck. I'm like, really? I mean, that's a complete change. And they've got like these gimmicky moments, like he gets he's like all loved up, and like you suddenly see like an animated heart pounding out of his chest. I'm like, that's Looney Tunes. That's not Ewoks. But because she's got this crystal and it's broken, and she wants him to fix him because he's like Logro's apprentice. She thinks he's going to be able to just poof it together and it's going to be fine. And he can't. But he finds out about this item called the Crystal Cloak. And it's a cloak that gives the wearer the ability to turn anything they touch into crystals. And it sounds like it's an old Ewok thing. So, like, Ewoks owned this, but it got stolen. But there is a map to find it. And so, so Latara gets this map, and Tebow doesn't want to have anything to do with it. So she enlists Wicket, and she's like, yeah, you want to get these things for your belt, so help me do this. So they take a couple of gliders and they go to the island following the map. Guess what? The island is In the middle of a volcano. Of course. Since when are there volcanoes on Endor? It's a forest moon. Like, I can understand why, like, you know, we've seen, like, kind of weird deserty things and stuff. Suddenly we have volcanoes. And it's like, well, this don't... Again, doesn't just feel the same. It doesn't feel right. So, they land on this island and they encounter all this crystal stuff. And then suddenly, Tebow and Nyssa appear. And they're like, hey, we've come to help you because we think that you guys are going to get into trouble. And this is where I switched off. I literally switched off. Like, I have no... And the villain finds out that they're on his island and he goes to find them. And then by the end of this story, Nyssa has a crystal and she's happy. Wicket's got a little crystal thing that goes on his belt. But I literally switched off. Because I was just like, this doesn't sit right. This doesn't feel right. This is not... This isn't the Ewoks that I signed up for. You know what I mean? Like, and I know I should probably, like, have given it more of a chance on that bit, but I just couldn't. I just thought it was so anti-Ewok. Anti-Ewoks. Like, there was... It just didn't fit it. And I'm not saying... words. So, it was written by Paul Dini. He wrote tons of season one. You know what I mean? So it's not like they had a new writer who was cutting their teeth. This is like one of the old school writers on the series. And it just wasn't the same. It didn't feel like... It didn't go in the same kind of direction that the show originally was on. And I found that very disappointing. But then we get into the second half, which was the wishing plant. And I'm like, this is Ewoks. This is what I kind of... This is how I remember it. This is how I enjoyed it before. Because... You know, the story's got more to do with nature and, you know, kind of a more Ewok kind of feel. So it's Nyssa is tending to her garden, but she can't keep any of the plants alive. And she's like, how are people going to trust me with their soul trees if I can't even keep a bunch of plants alive? And she's visited by the Fall Spirit, who gives her this plant. And she says, look, I want you to look after this plant for 3 days. And then I'll come back for it. And he says, like, look, I can't look after plants. Like, seriously. And the spirit is like, look, all you need to do is give it love. So she's looking after this plant and runs into Tebow, Wicket and Latara. And she falls down a hill and gets all muddy. Luckily, the plant survives. And in front of the plant, because all the ferns are like going, ha ha, you're mucky, ha ha, you fell over. And it was like, well, yeah, okay, I get that. And she says, I wish for something to clean me up in front of this plant. And one of the flowers blooms and leaves a in where this flower blooms, there's a like a hairbrush or a brush or a comb or whatever it is, something for an Ewok to, you know, prettify themselves. And they realize it's a wishing plant. Ha, title of the episode. And so suddenly she's wishing for stuff, and then there's this whole montage sequence where, so like, Latara steals the plant and starts wishing for a load of stuff. Then Wicket steals the plant and starts wishing for stuff. Tebow steals the plant, starts wishing for stuff. And And then there's this montage of them running around Brightree Village, taking the plant from each other. And as they're doing it, the plant gets weaker and weaker and looks like it's about to wither and die. At which point Nisa's like, oh my god, I'm so upset. Why would they do this? Why, this plant is going to die and I'm going to get into trouble. Then the spirit arrives and is like, where's my plant? And she's like, it's asleep. But if you come back later, you'll be ready for it. And the spirit's like, look, the last person who broke my plant, or damaged my plant, or hurt my plant, this is what happened to them. And she turns a barrel into a pile of leaves, which kind of gets them all terrified. So Wicket's like, look, I'm going to help you. So he goes off to try and find another wishing plant to replace it with. Fair play. He comes across two. The first one he can't get out of the ground, and the second one he pulls it from the ground but is attacked by a weird bee-like creature that shoots suction cup tipped arrows out of its nose, and it shoots the Wicket, who says ow 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 and runs away. And Tebow, well, he tries to use magic powders and everything, and that doesn't work. So all the Ewoks reunite, you know, they can't do anything. Nisa is terrified that she's gonna be turned into a pile of leaves. It's all terrible. Terrible stuff for her. You know, she's scared. And the spirit returns. So the rest of the Ewoks, so Latara, Wicket, and Tebow leave Nisa to be with the plant, and kind of as a distraction to kind of also distract the spirit. And so they distract the spirit, and Nisa kind of holds the plant and cries and says like she's sorry and she wishes that she hadn't messed around with it and all this stuff, and one of her tears falls on the plant and into the soil, and Nisa then goes outside to do her confession to the four spirit, you know, that she killed the plant. And the four spirit is like, goes into the room and comes out, and the plant is alive and well and fine because Nisa showed it love. And after the spirit was like, look, you know, I think the people will feel very comfortable with you looking after their soul trees after what you've done here, after looking after this plant so well. And off she goes, and the Ewoks learn a valuable lesson about greed, and you're better off to love stuff than be greedy about it, and, you know, kind of proper Saturday morning cartoon moral story, which I feel we didn't get in the first one. And it, the whole vibe, the writing, the plot, everything felt more like Ewoks and more of a story about the Ewoks than the first one did, which was basically all about Latara being self-absorbed and greedy. And so it's like, yeah, a ball was dropped somewhere, I think, and luckily the second half really kind of put, I kind of feel it put the whole thing back on track for me. So hopefully the rest of the season is more like that. It's more like part two than part one. So fingers crossed. I'm feeling very hopeful, actually. So yeah, it was just a lot of stuff didn't feel right, a lot of stuff didn't sit well with me in terms of my understanding and my feelings towards the Ewoks season series. So yeah, I was like, I really didn't like part one of it. It felt very convoluted. It didn't feel like an Ewoks episode. I felt like it would have made a great He-Man episode, maybe. But definitely not an Ewoks one. Which is a shame, especially because it's the first episode back, and you kind of want it to be going out with all guns blazing, as opposed to kind of, it just didn't. It did, there was no blazing. There were no guns. That was incredibly, I'd say, mediocre in terms of content. Which, yeah, was disappointing. But like I said, the second half, second part, or second episode within the episode, really kind of shone for me, and that was good. I mean, it wasn't like top tier Ewoks. It felt kind of, you know, middle of the run, kind of decent, but not, you know, not amazing. Bolstered by the fact that, damn, there was so much different, so much that didn't feel right, that, yeah, I was a little gutted afterwards, to say the least. So yeah, there we go. That's episode one of Yubnubbin season two in the can. So, before I go, I'd like to first thank everyone for their for listening, and Patreon members, thank you for your continued contributions. I hope that you're enjoying the bonus content or the Patreon content, and thank you for your contributions, because yeah, they are greatly appreciated, and well, that everything goes towards something for the blog. So, you know, it's all, it's good, it keeps the blog going, so thank you. And then before I go, I would just like to say thank you again, and yub nub and punch your chewy. I'll see you next week.